Readings this morning, and there's four of them. And we discussed scripture reading in our Sunday school class this morning. And maybe that out of reverence for God, we should stand while we're reading his word. Harold suggested maybe we ought to stand up just to keep awake. So if you're so inclined, please stand as we read the scriptures this morning. So our first scripture this morning is going to come from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. He says, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So he will bring joy to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." Our second reading is going to come from Psalms 8. The psalmist writes, he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. So when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is it, man, that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him? For you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hand, and you put everything under his feet. All the flocks and herds and the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." The book of Proverbs, Solomon writes to us about wisdom's call in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31. Solomon writes, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, and at the entrances, she cries aloud, 'To you, O men, I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind.'" In verse 22, he continues, "The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began, when there was no oceans, I was given birth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills I was given birth. Before he made the earth and its field or any of the dusts of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed clearly the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so the water would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence and rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind." And our final reading this morning is going to come from Romans 5. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 5. So Paul, writing to the Romans Christians there, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Please be seated. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you how you provide for us. We especially thank you for your word. I pray that it has an impact on each and every one of our hearts this morning as we study it and as we try to understand the mystery of your Trinity. Guide us in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this Sunday is known as Trinity Sunday. And some of us have a hard time wrapping our mind around that, don't we? I mean, isn't it hard to think of God as three persons? I've sat in a few sermons and listened to many teachers. You know, usually they'll come out and so say, okay, so the Trinity is kind of like water. It's kind of like H2O, you know. Depending on the form it's in, where it's at, sometimes it's ice, sometimes it's steam, sometimes it's liquid, it's water. It all has the same basic components, though, doesn't it? Or then maybe we can go with a point, okay, so when you see this, the Trinity, maybe we're it's like seeing an iceberg. If you're out in the ocean, you only see the tip of it. You don't see the real mass that's under the water now, do you? There are things about God we don't understand, we're not going to understand until maybe one day when we get to see him. When all the lights have come on. Bonnie has this problem with me. There's lots of times I do things that she doesn't understand. She'd be looking at me and say, what are you thinking? Of course, I look back and say, well, it's all in your perception. Or it's all in the presentation of how it's put. I can tell you, you looked at Bill like that, haven't you? I'm certain Jim was scratching his head. When I sent him four scriptures this week, he had me thinking, Pastor, what are you thinking? Giving us four scriptures. You probably were all thinking that much more. You're going to have a stand while you read four of them? What are you thinking? But isn't what we each do and what we present to everybody else really describe who we are? Isn't every moment we see in our lives, don't we see it by our perception of what things going on, or who's there, what's happening? Well, when I think about this, and I got thinking about last week. So last week was Pentecost Sunday, right? And we read in Acts 2, the first four verses that tells us the disciples all gathered together, they're in this house. All of a sudden, a violent wind comes, and flames of tongues land on each of them. And now they're all speaking in different languages. Can you imagine that moment if you were there? What would that have been like? We're not certain whether there was 12 in the room or if there was 120 in there. It's never really clarified, but can you imagine 120 people speaking in different languages, all in the same space? They had to be looking at each other and thinking, what are you thinking? What are you telling me? How did they come to understand it? How did they recognize it when they come out of the house? Well, they all thought they had a drunken party going on. But Peter comes out and clarifies it. But I had to think, what about the rest of the disciples? What were they thinking? Did it make any sense to them? Did they know what really happened? Well, I bet they did. I bet they thought about that first scripture we read in John. When Jesus told them, I can't tell you everything that's going to happen because you never would be able to understand the concept or receive it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, you're going to know. I bet they knew. I bet they knew when the Spirit of truth came, when the Holy Spirit came that day, they understood what it was. They understood what Jesus was talking about. He was going to fill their lives.
So we all know that people are perceived, we perceive each other depending on what we see, right? Think about it. So now if we think about the Trinity as in a whole, if we think about it in our perception of the Trinity, think about it when you see somebody else. Okay, so sometimes we're all seen as either son or daughter, mom or dad, grandmother, grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather. You know, we all see people different. Does that really describe who we are? I mean, think about it. So how do you describe God? You say, well, he's my father. Or God, he came to the world, became a man, and he died on the cross for us. Or God, he's the Holy Spirit, and he talks to me. Chances are you're going to look at person going to look at you and say, are you crazy? What are you thinking? What are we thinking? So I picked out four scriptures this morning because I want us to look at the scripture through the eyes of somebody who wrote the Bible. Look at the words of the psalmist. We'll start with the psalmist. So the psalmist wrote, if I can find my place, he says, when I considered your heavens, your works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is it that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him? What was the psalmist thinking? What was his perception of God? It was that God was the Father. He was the creator of everything, of the whole universe. And he recognized this universe and all that's abounded around it. And he gave us the opportunity to be in charge of everything, right? To run it, to be live here, to work here, to make the decisions about what happens around us. And as I thought about this, I think, so what is our perception? What do we see when we see the world around us? Then I got thinking about the Apollo 9 mission. One of the astronauts went up. And he got a whole different view of the earth. So I want to read one of the things that he wrote. He said, I saw the earth not as something big, but as something, a small thing out there. And the contrast between the bright blue and the white and the black sky, that infinite universe, really comes through in the size of it, the significance of it. It is so small and fragile and such a precious little spot in that universe that you can black out with your thumb and you realize that on that small spot, that little blue and white thing is everything that means anything to you. All of history, all music and poetry and art and death and birth and love and all the tears and joy, games and all of it on that little spot out there that you can cover with your thumb. Could you imagine looking out as he did? And be able to cover everything that you know with your thumb. It's a matter of our perspective, isn't it? Of how we see things. Another example. So we have lots of graduates. They have all the classes. They were all graduating. Some of you have been to graduations and stuff. You think about all the new graduates. They got to be right on top of the world, don't they? They got to be thinking, man, I've achieved it now. Guess what? The next thing that's going to happen to them, they're going to be a nervous freshman again. Or maybe they're going to go right to the bottom of the job ladder. Guess who's shoveling the dung today? Their perspective changes, doesn't it? So how they see life is going to change dramatically and suddenly. Isn't that how we see things? Isn't that how we all see things? So when we think of that, how do we see God? Do I got to think about it and reading about it? So when I come to the Proverbs, when Solomon writes, Proverbs, he says, this is wisdom's call. I'm thinking, when I first read this, it's like, this really doesn't make a lot of sense until we take some time to really take a closer look at it. So in wisdom's call, his perspective is that wisdom actually should be seen as an entity. Different way of looking at it, different perspective. If we look at wisdom as an entity, but what was the entity? I believe he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Not only did he want us to look at wisdom as being an entity, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he also wanted to see it through the eyes of a woman. That was scary. But I had to examine it anyway. I moved on. So, because then he writes, he says, in her presentation of the works of God that she'd seen this whole time, he says, to you, O man, I call out, I raise my voice. Body raises her voice to me a lot. Anyway, he says, I raise my voice to all mankind. He wrote this in Proverbs 8, verses 3 and 4. So, she being, meaning that she's wisdom, if we look at it through her eyes, what is Solomon's perspective of God? What does she see? Does she see truth? Does she see who he really is, because she's been with her through all times? Example. So the well-known example. Actually, there was a wealthy oil baron, and he decided that he wanted a portrait done of his wife. So he gets Picasso to do it. So Picasso, looking at the woman, he says, he agrees to it, so he does the painting. And he presents it to this wealthy oil baron, and he looks at it, and how many of you have seen Picasso's paintings? I never understood them. But anyway, he had the same problem. He's looking at it, he says, what are you thinking? This doesn't look like my wife at all. Picasso, he kind of scratches. He says, well, what did you expect? So he grabs out his wallet, he pulls out a picture of his wife. He says, this is who she really is. Picasso looks at it and says, looks kind of small and flat to me. Is that how we see the Spirit of truth? Just words? Sometimes it's just small and flat. Not alive and speaking. Because God and wisdom, the Spirit of truth, as Solomon teaches us, they're inseparable. That's how we should see the triune God. God and the Holy Spirit who is speaking to us and his Son are inseparable. They are one, as we are to be one. So what do we do with this? Who is this God? Paul writes to us in his presentation. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We read that in Romans 5, 1 and 2. So in your presentation, when you leave here today, in your perspective, when you see God, who are you going to present to the rest of the world? How do you present him to the rest of the world? How do you see God? How do you see the triune God? How do you understand this mystery of God in three persons? You'll never find the word, the Trinity, in the Bible. It's not there. But we understand that, and we have a reason that by the way we read the Scriptures, between our total learning of the Scriptures and how we apply it to our lives. That's what matters. What matters is what we gain when we read his word and we understand who he is and how we present it to the world around us. It's all in our perception. It's in our perspective how we do it. And our perspective changes by moment by moment. I think about a story about a man who's had a bad day. Went to work that morning. He had a bad day. Everything he did was every time he answered the phone, it was bad news. Every time thing he tried to do, it went wrong. The other day, I was having a bad day. I came in the house. I spilled coffee all over, made a mess for Bonnie to clean up. And I'm thinking, this is one of them bad days. I need to find a way to help my situation, to help my perspective on what's happening here. So this guy, he has this bad day where bad news and more bad news. He gets home, pulls in the driveway, and he goes open the door, and he sees his wife. She's having a bad day, too. Oh, boy, he could just see it in her eyes. So he's thinking, okay, so what do I do now? I want to apply a little wisdom. Holy Spirit, what do I do now? He decides, okay, I'll take this approach. He comes to his wife, and she's a loving woman. He says, honey, I had the worst day of my life. It was bad news, and more bad news. So I need you to help me out. Can you give me a little good news? Well, she smiles and looks at him. He says, you know, hon, we have 6 beautiful children. Well, 5 of them didn't break a leg today. Perspective. What will be your perspective be when you leave this Sunday? I wrote down a few things I'd like to share with you about perspective of when we study the word, when people study the word in the world, if you were to read in the scriptures. Look at that. It says, so if you look at Jesus' death on the cross, to the perspective of the world, it was another brutal murder and a brutal existence. But if you look at it through the eyes of faith, it was God so loving the world that he gave his only son to pay the penalty for our sins. Or if you look at Paul through the eyes of the world, well, he was just another religious fanatic now, wasn't he? He was a terrorist. If we watch it on the news now. But if we see it through the eyes of faith, Paul became one of the greatest ministers of all time. He surrounded us with truth. You know, and through the eyes of the world, sometimes when we look at the those that are poor and they're hungry, the world sees them as a nuisance, don't they? But if we look at them through the eyes of faith, of what God can do, who do we see? We see an opportunity for Christ. An opportunity for God to show his glory in this world. You know, sometimes you and I are seen even insignificant. Think we're just 1 in 6 billion. What difference can I make in this world when I leave here? And if I leave here with that attitude, that's exactly what's going to happen, nothing. But if I leave here with the attitude of faith and knowing that I have a triune God on my side, I have all kinds of power and opportunity. And through his loving hands, maybe I can change the world. Maybe I can help one person come to know him. Maybe I can make a difference. So when you leave here today, what's your perceptive? What's going to be your perception of this world? What attitude are you going to leave here with? Do you serve a triune God? The God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Because if you do, nothing will change, and he already knows you. I mean, he knows every hair on your head. Some of that changes by the hour. But he knows that. He knows that. How fortunate we are to serve a triune God. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we do thank you so much that you come and bless us with your presence here today. Continue to be with us. Touch our lives and just make your presence known to each and every one of us this day and every moment from on. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.